Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome back to AI Unraveled, your daily strategic briefing on the business impact of artificial intelligence. It is December 9th, 2025. Today, we examine the true cost of doing business in the new AI economy. Donald Trump has placed a 25% price tag on NVIDIA's access to China, effectively transforming the U.S. government into a commission-based partner in the global chip wars. Meanwhile, Google is taking another shot at owning your field of view with a 2026 smart glasses launch, and OpenAI reveals exactly how much time their power users are saving, and the numbers are massive. But before we dive into today's strategic briefing, stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. You have seen the power of AI unraveled. Zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen strategic intelligence directly to the decision makers. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Now let's unravel the news.
Welcome to the deep dive. We've got just a monumental pile of research and industry sources from the end of 2025.
Yeah, we really do.
And our job is to distill all of that down to the critical needle-moving insights you really need to understand.
We are definitely closing out the year in a completely new phase of AI. Mm. I mean, if you think back just 2 years, it was all about scaling up, making existing models bigger.
Right, more parameters.
Exactly. Now we're seeing a fundamental shift. It's like we're replacing the very engines that drive intelligence. Mm. We're moving into the era of autonomous capability.
Absolutely. And that's what this deep dive is all about. We're going to unpack this really intense competitive and tech landscape. Mm-hmm. Our mission is to analyze the source material through, let's say, three lenses. Google's huge technical leap, the actual arrival of AI agents, autonomous systems that can act, and then the high-stakes fight for control that's happening.
And that fight covers everything, the market, the politics, the money.
And if you want to know just how sudden the shift was, you just have to look at the market. When Google dropped Gemini 3 last month, their shares, well, they surged, obviously.
Of course. But that's not the real story.
No, the real insight is how the competition reacted. We have sources indicating that OpenAI's CEO, Sam Altman, sent out an internal code red memo.
A code red? Wow.
Yeah. When the market leader hits the panic button, it's not just an incremental update. It's a genuine leapfrog.
Okay, so let's unpack that leap, starting with Gemini 3. Google is calling it their most intelligent model.
And the descriptions they're using, they go beyond just, being smart. They're leaning towards words like wisdom, nuance, depth.
I saw one source use the phrase reading the room, that it understands context and intent with way less prompting.
And what makes this more than just marketing is the benchmarks, the hard numbers on PhD level tests. Gemini 3 Pro didn't just win, it really established technical supremacy.
Where specifically?
Well, crucially, it topped the Elmarina leaderboard. It hit a breakthrough score of 1501 ELO, and that's the gold standard for comparing models.
It is. A score like that puts it in a class of its own. It's a definitive win.
So that ELO score gives us the relative power, but where did it prove its actual, reasoning?
So you look at the really high bar tests. It got PhD level scores on humanity's last exam, 37.5% without any external tools. and a pretty staggering 91.9% on GPQA Diamond.
And these are the tests designed for what? Complex, multi-step, logic?
Exactly. Synthesizing ideas across different fields. And on top of that, it set a new state-of-the-art in pure math, hitting 23.4% on Mathrena Apex. These are just hard numbers that show it has a fundamental, superior reasoning ability.
And then Google rolled out an optimized version, Deep Think Mode. What's the story there?
Deep Think is sort of their enhanced reasoning mode. It's built for the really knotty, complex problems.
A specialized environment for the model.
You got it. And the performance gains are startling. It pushes that humanities last exam score up to 41%. GPQA Diamond goes to 93.8%. And this is the big one. It hit an unprecedented 45.1% on ARC AGI2.
Which is the benchmark for solving totally new problems, right? Yeah. Things it's never seen before.
Precisely. And that's the key to understanding why this matters to you, the listener. It's not about doing simple things faster. It's about what you can do with this new level of intelligence.
We really have to go past the headlines here.
Sure. I mean, the multimodality is incredibly powerful now. For instance, because it can read the room and process vision and language at the same time. It can now look at old handwritten family recipes, maybe in a few different languages, and just instantly translate and convert them into a digital cookbook. Keeps the format, the cultural context, everything.
Or say you're a student or a researcher, you're tackling some dense academic paper.
Right.
Yeah. Gemini 3 can take that and instantly generate, say, a high fidelity visualization of plasma flow in a tokamak reactor. Or create interactive flashcards from a video lecture. It turns passive information into an active tool.
The sports analysis example is perfect, too.
Yeah.
You can upload a video of yourself playing pickleball, and it won't just critique your form. It identifies your biomechanical weaknesses and then generates a custom training plan with specific drills, all based on that video. A personalized coaching that used to cost a fortune.
And what's just as important here is Google's distribution strategy. This wasn't some beta test.
No.
Gemini 3 was in AI mode in search on day one. That is a massive logistical move. And it tells you they're using their biggest advantage, their ecosystem, to get this in front of billions of people immediately, forcing everyone else to play catch up.
And that technical firepower from Google really sets the stage for what was the true revolution of 2025.
The rise of agents.
The rise of agents. What? We've talked about them for years, but the consensus in our sources is clear. The single biggest advancement this year was the shift from AI assistants that wait for you to autonomous systems that actually take initiative.
They act with limited human oversight.
This is the jump from a passive tool to an active colleague. These agents can operate a computer, browse the web, modify files, plan complex tasks. And the foundation for this was built on four specific breakthroughs, the big four.
The brain, memory, self-evolution, and body.
Exactly. Let's start with the brain, which is reasoning. The breakthrough there came from a system called Poetic.
And this is a scaffolding system built around Gemini 3 Pro, right? So why did it do better than the raw model?
Because it's architecturally clever. It doesn't just guess. It uses something they call System 2 verification.
Okay, what does that mean in simple terms?
Instead of just reading a complex problem and giving you an immediate answer, the agent writes code to test its own theory. It runs the code, sees if it fails, and if it does, it revises and tries again.
So it's like using the scientific method instead of just reciting from a textbook.
That's a perfect way to put it. It's an iterative, self-correcting loop.
Mm-hmm.
And that loop is why Poetic beat Google's own DeepThink mode on that really hard ARC AGI2 benchmark. It hit 54% to DeepThink's 45%.
It was cheaper.
And this is the kicker. It did it at 5 times less computational cost.
Hold on. So a clever software wrapper around a model beat the model's own most advanced mode and did it for a fraction of the cost. Does that basically prove that the race for just more and more parameters is maybe not over, but secondary?
The sources are definitely pointing that way. Architectural efficiency is now the name of the game. Raw scale still matters, but if you can get better reasoning for cheaper, that changes the entire industry.
Wow.
Which brings us to the second breakthrough. Memory. This was addressed by Google's Titans and the Mirai's architecture.
And memory has always been the Achilles heel, that catastrophic forgetting the agent just resets after a while.
Right. Well, Mirai's introduces what they're calling neural long-term memory. This is not just a huge context window. It's a living system. The neural architecture actually updates its own weights as it interacts with you.
So it's not just remembering facts, it's learning.
It's learning persistent preferences, habits, even a unique personality. It becomes a reliable collaborator, not a bot that resets every hour. It can handle over 2 million token contexts, like a true historical record.
A persistent digital mind. That leads straight to self-improvement, the third pillar, which DeepMind tackled with DiscorL.
DiscorL is. It's a moment of, let's call it, algorithmic singularity. DeepMind built a meta-learner, an AI that evolves other algorithms.
And DiscorL evolved a new reinforcement learning algorithm.
A completely new one named Disco 103. And this is a game changer because Disco 103 surpassed human designed algorithms like PPO and U0, the ones that have been the foundation of RL for years.
So we're now using AI to design the fundamental math for the next generation of AI.
Exactly. The development timelines are just going to accelerate even faster.
And that leaves the body, agency. This came from the open source MuroThinker.
Right. MuroThinker is what lets the digital mind actually do things reliably. It achieves something called interactive scaling. In the past, agents would fall apart or crash after a few steps. MuroThinker kept its coherence for over 600 tool calls. That's 600 sequential steps of browsing, coding, logging into APIs, reading documentation.
Wow, so it can now handle a multi-day research project completely on its own.
That's the capability, yeah. It hit 81.9% on the tough GAIA benchmark.
So this chaos of breakthroughs, brain, memory, self-evolution, body, it must have triggered a scramble to create some kind of standard.
It did. You can't have everyone building their own proprietary agents that don't talk to each other.
Which is where the Agentic AI Foundation comes in, the AAI.
Yep. Launched by fierce competitors Block, Anthropic, OpenAI, all into the Linux Foundation. They saw that market failure was inevitable without some common ground. The goal is open infrastructure, open standards. Like the W3C for the early web. To stop fragmentation before it starts. Precisely. And they seeded it with core components like Anthropic's Model Context Protocol and maybe even more importantly, OpenAI's Agents.md.
Which is like a universal instruction manual for software.
It's a standardized readme file that an agent can read to instantly know how to interact with any new API or project. It just shows that interoperability is now non-negotiable.
Okay, so let's pivot from the tech to the money, the infrastructure, and the massive market forces swirling around all this. We are seeing some incredible economic activity.
Activity that looks like either justified growth or a full-blown bubble, depending on who you ask.
I mean, the valuations are just, they're reaching heights we've never seen this early. Take the startup Unconventional AI.
Right.
They raised $475 million in a seed round. At a $4.5 billion valuation.
Let's just put that in context. That valuation is 121 times higher than the median seed raise this year.
Mm.
It's staggering.
So you have hedge fund icons like Ray Dalio calling it a bubble, straight up.
But the counterargument from places like Morgan Stanley is actually pretty compelling. They're saying the valuations are justified because these companies literally cannot keep up with demand.
A supply problem.
An inability to serve every customer who wants their product. That's not typically a sign of a bubble.
And that supply constraint ties directly back to infrastructure. The conversation isn't just about bigger chips anymore.
No, the big theme at NeurIPS 2025 was a definitive move away from the brute force race for trillion plus parameter models. The focus now is on architectural efficiency, system level design.
The new metric I keep seeing is reasoning per joule.
Exactly. How much actual intelligent work can you get out of one unit of energy?
Which requires massive strategic investment in the physical world. Look at Microsoft.
Their commitment in Canada is huge. Over $7.5 billion for AI infrastructure there over the next 2 years. That brings their total since 2023 to $19 billion.
And why Canada specifically?
Two things are cited in the sources. Reliable, often cheaper, power. And crucially, the cold climate.
For cooling.
Cooling these massive data centers is the single biggest cost and efficiency drain. Securing compute in a cold climate gives you a long-term competitive advantage on training and inference costs. It's a geopolitical shift as much as a tech one.
And under all of this, of course, is the chip competition. NVIDIA is still dominant with a market cap around, what, $4.5 trillion?
An unbelievable number. But the market is watching Google's custom silicon approach with Broadcom very carefully. If they can reduce the industry's dependence on NVIDIA, that's a massive disruption.
There was also that notable geopolitical reversal on chips.
Yes. President Trump approved the sale of high-grade H200 chips to customers in China.
A reversal of the previous policy.
A complete reversal. Reportedly, it was contingent on the U.S. government getting a 25% cut of the revenue from those deals.
Which just shows you the strategic leverage these things have now. They're bargaining chips, literally.
And that brings us to monetization, the billion-dollar question. How do you make money off these things without ruining the user experience?
It's the ad problem. Google reportedly told advertisers they plan to bring ads directly into the Gemini chatbot in 2026.
And the public reaction was so swift and so negative
that their VP of global ads had to come out and publicly deny it. It just shows how sensitive this is.
And OpenAI faced the same thing. They had to shut down promotional messages for Target and Peloton that were popping up in chats. Their chief research officer basically said, you know, anything that feels like an ad needs to be handled with care. The path to recouping billions in training costs is a minefield.
And as fast as the tech is moving, the regulatory world is just fighting to keep up.
And that's leading to friction in every major economy. Start with Europe, where the focus is really on content rights.
Right.
The European Commission opened a formal antitrust investigation into Google, specifically about how they use online content from publishers, from YouTube creators, to train Gemini.
And the issue isn't just the training, right? It's that Google might be distorting competition by using that content for their generative search results.
Without proper compensation and without giving creators a real way to opt out.
It's a trap for publishers.
It's a coercive dilemma. If they block Google's crawlers, they vanish from search. But if they allow them, the AI summaries might just cannibalize all their traffic. It's a classic digital choke point, and the EU is scrutinizing it.
Meanwhile, in the U.S., we're seeing this major jurisdictional fight brewing over who actually gets to control AI policy.
Yeah, President Trump announced he intends to sign a one-rule executive order to preempt all the state-level AI laws.
And there are a lot of them, something like 38 state laws targeting bias, discrimination, data centers.
And the White House argument is that this patchwork, this regulatory morass, will destroy AI in its infancy. They're saying it's worse than Europe.
But the experts are skeptical. Can an executive order just erase state laws?
Legal scholars doubt it, especially since the Senate previously voted 99-1 against a similar federal ban. It looks like a long, messy legal and political battle is just inevitable.
And finally, we have to connect this accelerating capability to the immediate need for security.
Absolutely. As agents and models get more powerful, the need to verify what's real grows exponentially.
We saw evidence of that with Resemble AI raising $13 million.
And that money is specifically for advancing real-time, multimodal deepfake detection. Their Detect3B Omni model covers 38 languages. The race isn't just to generate synthetic media. It's to build global systems to instantly verify it. So if you're walking away from this deep dive with one core idea, it should be this. 2025 was not just a year of models getting bigger. It was a true paradigm shift. AI gained the ability to act and to self-evolve.
And that shift was driven by two main forces. First, that technical leapfrog by Google with Gemini 3, which just reset the competitive landscape and triggered OpenAI's Code Red.
And second, the rapid emergence of those agentic systems, which was only possible because of the big four breakthroughs, giving them the brain, memory, and body they needed to act on their own.
The innovation timeline is accelerating, and now the innovation is turning inward, with AI designing better AI.
And that self-optimization cycle means we should just expect the next leap to arrive even faster than this last one.
Which brings us to our final provocative thought. We've spent this time talking about the tech, the market, the regulations, but all for systems that are public, the ones we can see and touch in search or in a chatbot.
But what about the most consequential advancements? Things like agent-on-agent training, or self-evolving algorithms operating with total autonomy. Those are almost certainly happening behind closed doors in classified labs or under military contracts.
So if the industry is already fighting these huge market share wars and regulatory battles over the technology that we can see,
what are the ethical and societal implications of the powerful unseen AI systems that are operating right now in controlled environments? The ones whose impact we might only fully realize years from now? That's the real frontier, and that's the real question for you to mull over.
We'll see you for the next deep dive.
That wraps up today's briefing. The signal for today is integration. Whether it's Claude integrating directly into your Slack workflow, Google integrating Gemini into Warby Parker frames, or the U.S. government integrating itself into NVIDIA's revenue stream, AI is no longer a standalone tool. It is becoming the infrastructure of our work, our wearables, and our geopolitics. Before we go, a reminder for the leaders listening, stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. You have seen the power of AI unraveled. zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored proprietary podcasts designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen, strategic intelligence directly to the decision makers. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Please subscribe and share. Until tomorrow, keep unraveling the future.